Tango 1 at the top, we are on the call. 10-4, Tango 1, you have control. Tango 1 copy. Stand by. Stand by.
Integrity, passion, resilience. That's what this place was built on. That's what our community is founded on. Don't act like the example, just be the example. This is the home of the greatest fitness community in the world. We're trying to create strong, able bodies, resilient to injury with a gas tank to get shit done. If there's one thing from this podcast, it's about taking media action, find the problem, fix the problem. This is your opportunity. It's either a hell yes or a fuck no. It's that simple.
You're ruining Take One podcast.
Now is the time to take action. Now's the time to do more and be more.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Tango One podcast. This episode this week, we got my girlfriend. You might be the actual most episodes. Maybe Corey's got you, but I think my good buddy Gus, you guys know him from the West Side Barbell stuff, but he's also the gatekeeper with Conjugate Tactical. More importantly, that's how our relationship kind of has flourished over the years, is through a lot of common grounds with that thing and then a lot of common grounds in life. So Gus, welcome to the show. Let's get ready to rock and see what comes out of your mouth today.
I never know. I'm excited.
You do never know. So the new office, I like the Big Lebowski thing, is like it's a very nice. Was that a gift?
Yeah, it's our the yin and the yang. In case I ever start getting too busy or too serious, just turn around, remind myself to abide.
Well, just going from, so you look like a real serious guy. You got the tats, you got the, you know, the camo shirt on, the bald head, but then behind you got the Big Lebowski. Then you got these like military hats and then a kimono, so kimono hanging. It's like there is variety in your life, that's for sure.
There's a lot going on, buddy.
Never know what you're going to see when you go up there. And speaking of head up there, we just brought a crew to see you. And that's why I really wanted to get you on here. We brought a crew up. I think we had 23 lifters. I think we brought 18 up to Indiana for your pull-through event, which, man, you were downplaying like it was going to be a small event. We got there. I think it was the most lifters ever, was it not?
Yeah, once the dust settled, we ended up at, I believe, 52. We had a couple last-minute signups. The year prior we did it was 50 on the ballot, so I think that was the most we've had. And I think we've officially stretched the limits of how many people can fit in the gym here. So
yeah, it was jammed, man. I loved how we ran it this year, or how you ran it. I was just along for the ride, but the flights being mixed with, you know, people from like 100 to basically just under 500 pounds in each kind of flight, it made it a little bit more, it was a little funner to watch, and it just kind of like stretched out the amount of garage gym lifters, because we had a lot of people in the 200 to 300. So I got to watch more heats of people, of my people, which is always exciting. So my people had never been up to see you. Most of them, we just had a couple of repeats, and that they were just like blown away by the event and the support. And they said, one of the things a couple of them said to me was, the second you did your little talk about where the money was going and what this meant to you, they stopped being nervous, which was pretty awesome thing to hear.
No, it's fun, man. It's extra work to do the sort of the escalating flights where it's not just all small lifts, medium lifts, big lifts, but it's fun, man. Like to have everyone come together and lift weights and do everything that we're supposed to do that day. Like if unloading and loading some barbells puts people in their right frame of mind and they're having more fun, it's really, honestly, it's not that much work compared to, you know, you have a call sheet where you have to pick a pre-designated weight and you have to do this, you have to do that. Like, we don't want chaos. The lifts need to still look good and all that stuff, but it's more for having fun than anything. So if it helps people break the ice or get the butterflies out and enjoy strength sports, we're happy to do it.
Yeah, man, and six grand to a real good cause. What was the causes this year? Like, I know what they were, but maybe tell some people, because you did some good stuff, man. Good work.
Yeah, we still support the Matthew Pacino Foundation. And really with them being friends and work with some of the folks associated with that organization and some of Matthew's old team in different capacities here with the strength conditioning stuff, they're kind of, at least with our, they're staying alone. It's not like they need our permission, but we trust them unconditionally to do with what they will, the money we donate. And the year prior to this one, we're with Texas Power Bars doing the special edition bar. And then our day of event, We were able to do darn near 20,000 on the dot for them. And I know that that particular allotment of money went to building a smart home for a fellow that was injured. He was shot and rendered paralyzed from the neck down as a result. So the 20 grand that we were able to raise with everybody went towards the bigger picture cause with the Gary Sinise Foundation and building a smart, adaptive smart home for him. So that's a pretty cool feeling. And then this year we wrote a check back to the foundation, just do with, again, what you will, if they're building houses or doing memorial, whatever it is they do, we know without a shadow of a doubt that every penny that goes in goes right back out, just from the relationship we have with a member of the board there. And then we use the rest of it to help a group out of California for an effort they have going called Project Resilience. So really good group. There's a gym called Raw Performance Gym, and Jason and his wife, Sam, have sort of a holistic approach to not only physical, but mental well-being with strength conditioning and then professional services that Dr. Case renders for their folks. So I don't really want to speak too much on their behalf because I don't know if they actually know all the money is inbound to them. So hopefully it gets there before this airs. But she and Jason are far better at explaining what it is they do. But ultimately, she's, you know, full-blown doctor and doing her stuff with the psychology portion of all of this and taking care of the guys and gals, but taking care of the folks up there. And between the gym and her practice, they're doing a lot of good for a lot of folks. So we were able to rally behind them and hopefully surprise them with a nice little bump in their operational funds. And like I said, they're finding ways to travel and do all the talking and all the speaking and all the work they're doing is tremendous. I just believe that if you have a little bit more funding, you can get a lot more done. And being that I can't fix a damn thing, we can build a bridge between caring people and professionals in the space. So again, full trust that they'll do everything needed with that money to take care of the folks. So hopefully get some more people training, more people in therapy and doing all the stuff that they do. So definitely hit a good home run for both this year. I'm grateful.
Yeah, that's awesome. With the pull through, one of my favorite things is, you know, as a coach, man, it's tough to, you're there every day and you put your time in, but the results, when you're there every day, you don't see the results as clearly as you do during a test. And having people come off that bar and just like jump to hug me is like, it's gotta be like, it is like, it used to be about my own achievements. You know, when you were more of an athlete and younger and, you know, like a little bit more testosterone, maybe flowing through us in competitiveness. But now, man, I just get so geeked about, like, I get geeked watching you, you know, make a ton of money for charity. I get geeked watching my people like crush it. And then at the end, you know, when the big boys and we're sitting there having lunch after, and I'm sitting with, you know, Jeff and Ryan, and they say like, man, your lifters came to play this year. They looked great. That was a real like happy spot for me. And I think like, we liked the garage gym programming. What I don't think a lot of people know, and I don't probably do enough job or better, good enough job broadcasting, is we do kind of, we follow the conjugate tactical way. And with the conjugate tactical way, the one of the reasons I was really attracted to this is because years before I even met you, like leaving, you know, I knew that first responders, like what you say in conjugate tactical, need to be prepared for tomorrow, not for a test, right? They need to be always be raising the floor rather than reaching for the ceiling. And I think it gets lost a lot of times that really that your average everyday person is the same. Like they're just trying to raise the floor because they, whatever their job is tomorrow in their life is just as important as like as a first responder.
Yeah. I mean, it's a somewhat of an understanding of the idea of GPP and general physical preparedness versus SPP or specialized physical preparedness and finding where you land on that spectrum, to be honest. And when you layer in the practicality that the real world does get in the way, so our message isn't the most, you know, sexy, lucrative, put a skull on everything that's out there. But if we're taking, you know, a proven method of training and entrusted to deliver it to a particular demographic and, you know, dial down some of the SPP, the balance of GPP that's still there for most, it applies to, like, I don't work in the professions anymore. I only did 5 years in the Marines and I got done with that in 07 and did 5 years and change in law enforcement. And that wrapped up New Year's Day, or New Year's Eve 2014, pardon me. So I've been detached as far as, you know, being in the space for 8 years now, give or take. And what you see is going on now is quite interesting, but having done some of that stuff between military and law enforcement, and now just being, you know, an everyday average, like I still want to train and take care of myself, but my work day is less guns and wrestling with drunks than it was in the past, but there's still stressors and demands. And when you build out a training plan that addresses the simple stress and demand of profession or existence or physicality, whatever you want to call it, I believe, at least I hope, we've developed a decent way to get from point A to point B for a lot of folks and try to piggyback a culture that is relatively professional. I mean, we're going to make fart jokes all day, but you know, as far as the seriousness in which we take the work, we hopefully built a culture behind it that focuses on training and improvement versus, that's a rabbit hole to go down on later day, but versus some of the craziness that's out there. It's just, that's just not for us.
Yeah. I mean, I think Mayo is almost like a little Petri dish here at the garage gym. Cause we, you know, we came up with a good size people. We had 300 some of the people that really practice our programming, and it's the same programming for everybody. Our coaches just add individual flair to each person, you know, kind of, I mean, like
80-20 rule. It doesn't have to be apples and oranges for every single person. I mean, once you've exercised the upper back, you've exercised the upper back. The exercises or the lifts themselves, they may offer a little bit more of a return on investment for this guy versus that gal, but by and large, all this stuff can be done in a group setting. I think that's what you guys have done better than most, is able to identify that most of the stuff is, you can do a lot of the same things for a lot of the same folks and not let this whole conjugate system thing spiral out of control, but also individualize it enough where it's like, okay, we know you need this, whatever that is. And we've only got one belt squad in here and 19 people need to use it. You can figure out how to get that done pretty easy as far as like troop management goes.
Yeah. And like with the, I think a lot of my people kind of thought that we only really trained for this for 6 or 8 weeks. And I was trying to explain to them those questions too also show a lack in the explanation that's happened on the floor that needs to get a little bit more belief in the mission, was that, no, we've been training for this all year. You know, we're building slowly. That's kind of like what we're trying. We weren't training for a peak towards the end of it. Yes. Then we got more, like you said, SPP, like we're training for a test. We're training for almost, it becomes like a sport when we're going to test, you know, but throughout the year, we can still improve your one rep maxes without really having to one rep max, you know, 4x4s, you know, 8x3s, some dynamic work with keeping the risk low for your average everyday person who really, the one rep max always serves a purpose. However, it may not be the best, like it's a way, not the way for everybody. Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, our rule, like unless there's an absolute necessity that you put the heaviest weights possible on you every single week, there is nothing wrong whatsoever if you have to deload or you just prefer to train sub maximal. I mean, you may not be officially doing your max effort work without pushing it to a true single, but for most, a lot of heavy work or heavy efforts, it's going to take care of a lot of this concept of a base of strength versus omitting strength training or some of the heavy dense stuff altogether. And if, you know, I mean, I know you've been to all the stuff, but we default to one rep maxes as the goal. And based on the totality of the day or the practicality of how things are unfolding, if we have to deload, we will. And you guys are proof. Like if you have to unload or deload, miss a week, you're not going to slip all that far from what you're truly capable of if you're pulling a couple of doubles in lieu of a true, you know, bloodshot eyes single. You're still going to be all right.
Nose spreading single, like we saw at the competition. That was
a strong dude,
he was a big strong man, and when the nose let go, he's just, the faces on the people that were with me were like, what just happened?
Yeah, if you're not doing this stuff all the time, I mean, I haven't blown my nose up in a few years, but what's it called, if you're not used to seeing that, it's like, what the hell's happening to that guy? So it's neat to see when it does happen and kind of like not necessarily shock people, but I don't think a lot of your folks have seen 750 something pounds go up in the air and what can happen to a person's face and nose as a result.
Yeah, I mean, he was so impressive. But I mean, the people are really talking about here was that Joey there from not far from you.
Yeah,
that guy's like
kinetic strength and conditioning.
He's a little bit smaller than me, and he was putting up the numbers he put up. What is like mid six?
Yeah, I think he's in 630, 640 range.
It was wild. Like, he does not look like the kind of guy. Like, he just looks like, you know, he looks like a fake guy. Don't get me wrong, but he did not look like a 650 when he walked in. I couldn't, when I saw him give us, he handed me those numbers at the start. And I'm like, really? Oh my God.
Dude, that's a strong kid, man. I mean, he's 20 something year old man, but
that too.
That's a strong kid, dude. You should see him jump too.
Kid,
like, he's pulling 600 plus, jumping over 40 inches. Like, he's a baseball player. He's
and a mid 90s fastball.
Yeah. Fucking crazy.
Wow. Some people just have this like work ethic and then athleticism to go with it. That's a wicked combination.
Yeah, unless you're just like me who just sucks at everything.
Sucks at everything, especially taking compliments. Mm. That's a whole other story.
Yeah, whole I saw a thing on playing around on Instagram the other day, and there's like a professional sleeping league where you see you can sleep along some weird Eastern European thing or something. And I'm like, cool, dude. Now I officially suck at every sport on the planet. Like, now you've contested sleeping and another thing that I can't even do that right. Like, great. Thanks.
Well, let's build you up a little bit, because years back when we met, maybe, I don't know, 5-6 years ago now, I feel like it's been long. It's been a lot longer than it feels, that's for sure. But
yeah,
you know, you were
2014, 2015, give or take.
Yeah, man, right in there. You know, and you were talking about Conjugate Tactical, and it was just becoming like this new branch, and the thing that was it. But the growth now, and especially, you know, I was forced away a little bit. We were, thank God for Instagram and Zooms, we were able to keep in touch, but I was kind of forced away a little bit by the border. And to come back now and get back involved and to see how it's grown and how this Conjugate Tactical system is being used in a variety of different, like there's me with, like, I call mine like a ma and pa kind of place, you know, mm-hmm. It's being used by first responders, by tier one stuff that we can't even talk about. And then by, you know, the MMA guys and the kettlebell guys, it's just wild. Like, how applicable this is against a broad variety of people.
Yeah. It's gotten weird.
It's weird.
Kind of rolled, just like when we opened the gym, there was no real plan, just do stuff and see where it goes. And same thing with this. I mean, we were forced to put a little bit of structure to it just by the growth and the requirements of what we were doing and kind of where it went. But I mean, honestly, the expansion and the, I would say the evolution of all of it, as fast as it's happened, it's been, this fall will be 5 years. It's been Conjugate Tactical sort of as we know it. Once we were from the Conjugate Club at Westside. Right. But I mean, where this has expanded into is all the people that have done the course, like, having the folks up in Chicago and what, like, Joey, the deadlift fellow you're talking about, what he's able to do with the principles and apply it to baseball and throwing and things of that nature, as well as general population. And then Byron down in Houston at Misfit Strength, they, of all things, they freaking built a monster system for volleyball. I mean, the list goes on and on. A lot of the guys have taken it and put it right back into MMA and fighting, which is cool to see. Mark and some of the, Mark Curtis, freaking Chad, there's a handful of Tom, there's a bunch of them, high level grappler dudes that are cutting and pasting this thing for grappling and to support jujitsu and stuff. So that's really cool. But all the expansion, the good stuff, is entirely what people are doing. And that's the exact intent behind this is, and I don't know if you're going to air the video side of this thing or just the audio, but, you know, this is me doing stuff, and here's everyone that comes to the course. And then everyone that comes to the course, you just leave me here and continue to grow and do stuff. So you're picking up what we have along the way, or along your way to the top, and build something great with it. And with 150 plus people have done the course now, there's no way that 150 something people are not going to create something better than what I could do as a single person. So it's neat to be able to kind of hand the ball off to all these folks. And we're not so, it's not so big that you can't keep in touch with all these folks. I mean, some of them don't want to keep in touch, whatever. I don't get my feelings hurt. It's fine. I'm fine. But being able to keep in touch with these folks and what people are up to, from some of the cooler, you know, cool guy jobs in the military, from like, whatever you want to call the SOCOM world, and EOD dudes, troopers, coppers, the fire thing. Admittedly, I'm pretty hands off with working with fire specific because I just have no experience there. And we have so many coaches that have come through this that are firemen. But it's like, well, there's your square peg, square hole fit right there. But with what everyone's doing, man, it is really rewarding to see, because that was, I mean, that's essentially our only task, is to prove the methods. And we just, this is just the, I guess, the arena in which we stepped in to try and prove them. And so far, so good. As far as I can tell, I've only got a couple people that say mean things to me on a regular basis, and that's all right.
Man, I mean, I was there on the very first one, and obviously the garage gym, and Danny and I have invested sending more coaches up there, and we're proud to fly the flag, which one of the coolest things that I think about Conjug is, like, I feel like regardless if you're somebody like me who sent, you know, 5-6 instructors, or you're somebody who just went up there for your own knowledge, because we've seen, you know, people come up who just don't even have a gym. They just want to learn the system. Mm-hmm. Is that you do feel supported without having to, you know, keep paying money every month to have that with you. Like, that's one of the, I think, that separates Conjugate Tactical and the crew that you've built, the culture that you guys have built, from other dogmas or whatever you would call them for other, you know, certifications. Yeah. Very cool thing. So how many people we got now? Oh, sorry, man, go ahead.
It's neat. Like, I understand the recurring billing, the maintain your membership kind of stuff. There's I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's just not befitting what we've built and kind of what our marching orders were from Louie and Tom. When we set out to do this, it just did not include part of that in the model. And it was never forced upon me in any way, shape, or form to sort of pay to play. You know, essentially the attendance fee for the seminar, I mean, you've been to it. If you hated it that bad, we'll just give you cash. Like, can't give it back the time, but we'll give you back your money if you want it. We haven't had to refund anybody, so that's nice. I don't know. I don't think that there's enough on our end to justify making people pay to be friends with everyone. So without being like, I don't want to sound like a jerk about it, because I get it. Our overhead isn't high enough to need it. And I would honestly rather, instead of billing you $300, $500, $1,000 a year, whatever it is, to stay on board, and, you know, all that stuff that goes with the gotta pay, like, thanks for being a member, but the second you don't pay, you're gone, bye. You know, that just I wouldn't be able to enforce it even if I wanted to, so why even mess with it? I'd rather you, like, we do the coach scores. If a coach comes back, you don't pay us. If you want to pay somebody, send it to one of our approved charities, whatever you think it's worth, great. But I don't know what the hell we're talking about, but yeah, we're not going to ding you for $500 a year just to stay involved, because we're still growing this thing, and we're honestly more shocked that people want to be involved versus forcing you to pay to be involved. So if you want to hang out with us, we're not going to fucking bill you for it.
Speaking of more people that want to be involved, we've got March 25th, 26th, 27th. Is that the dates for Columbus?
25 and 26, that Saturday, Sunday. Yeah.
And it's gone. It's done. There's no openings, right? Like, that's wild.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one that I think has caught on. This will be our 7th coaches course. We've done 5 public, 1 private for some DHS stuff. And when we cap it at 24, like, it's not a marketing trick to get people to buy tickets faster and stuff. I just can't do a larger group than 24 and be effective. So 24 is our sweet spot. And then they'll get pissy on the front end thinking you're trying to trick them to signing up fast. And then when you tell them now you can't sign up, then they're pissed off that they can't get in. It's like, we'll just do another one. But this sold out awkwardly fast. And I'm no fool. Having it on deck at Westside Barbell is a nice 2-for-1. If you want to come to the course and get to train at Westside Barbell, that's pretty easy. So it's a wonderful fit, but that's, you know, we're sort of right in line with everything we always talk about, building teams and teams of teams and so forth, to be able to segue a couple of dozen people's first visit to Westside Barbell that's a wonderful thing to be able to share with folks, because that place has been so huge to me that it's pretty cool. And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of an honor, I guess, to, we've got the first seminar going there since Lou passed, and the first seminar in a very long time on, you know, within the walls of the gym and in the education space. So definitely a step up to the plate kind of moment coming up here in a few weeks, because we got folks from freaking both coasts and Texas and up north near your area. So we'll see where it goes.
I feel like you're going to have to, because of the one, we've all kind of missed getting together. And then two, with the attraction of Westside Barbell in Columbus, you're going to have to fight the instructors. They're going to have to fight. The instructors are going to have to fight each other to get in and get a seat to even see you guys.
I'm not even dealing. There's 25 seats. There's 24 for the students and one extra in case someone needs to put their feet up or something. The current coaches are coming back. Freaking bring a camp chair, man. I'm not doing shit for anybody.
We don't have recurring fees, so you can't be involved.
That's exactly. No chair. Come here and eat everybody's freaking pizza or something. Get your own damn chair. But I have to think, there's gonna be 15, 20 people, maybe 10. I should maybe 10, 15 of the current coaches coming back, and that's the exciting part is when people want to come back. I mean, cool. You might be able to get. Maybe the thing evolves, you know, like the course, the delivery, we trim stuff, add stuff. It'll never be the same thing twice. But the guys and gals that want to come back to kind of add value on the back end or offer ultimately like the equivalent of probably the opinion of like a Doubting Thomas, like, hey, I did this 2 years ago and this is what we're doing with it. That's my favorite part for everyone in attendance is to have a chance to talk to 5 or 10 or 12 coaches who have been using this for 6 months to 4 years. We did the first course September of 19, so 3.5 years maybe of coaches courses. And just, hey, we're doing this with it, we're doing that with it. And again, going back to the strength of the collective, 3 brains are better than 1 and 25 are better than 3. So we'll just keep bringing it back until one day it's like, yeah, we can't facilitate 80 coaches attending and 24 attendees taking the seminar, but that'll be a wonderful problem to have when it happens. But this one, it definitely sold out faster than expected. Anyway, we never expect to sold out. We're grateful when it does. That sounded pretty shitty, but I did not expect this thing to sell out 4 months ahead of D-Day. So pretty neat.
Yeah, man. The systems, I think you highlighted, the systems are obviously great. They're obviously effective. I believe in them wholeheartedly. The hidden value in any of these things and almost any course in general, but is getting in a room with people who, even people who don't know the conjugate system, it's they have different successes and different experiences. And you and I, we met in Vegas with some friends, you know, a little get together thing. And I found that right away. There's a lot of like-minded people in there and with common goals. And just, you know, we had only been together for 10 minutes. I ride the escalator with Byron and I'm like, I already had a takeaway that I was going back. And I think he had the same, and it was nothing to do with why we were there. It was just common conversations with people who have, you know, I've used this route. He's used this route. Where do we go wrong? Where do we go right? I want to know what you did right. And let's go right. And learn from the wrong. And I think that's the value in a lot of these courses too, is you get in that room with 30 or whatever it is, 24 people who have done or want to do, or are working on doing what you have done or want to do, et cetera.
It's neat. I mean, that's kind of how I was brought up under the Westside banner, is get a lot of smart people together and talk about stuff. And if you do that enough for 3 or 10 years or whatever, you end up learning a hell of a lot from a lot of different people. And I believe that's the way to do it versus trying to mute down or damn all that information down so that people can't have access to it strictly to make yourself feel better. Like, there's a long list of areas I'm not strong. And it's nice to see the coaches and friends of the organization, or whatever you want to call it, but it's nice to see the coaches be able to pick up that slack in areas where I have no experience, expertise, or anything like that. And it just keeps making the little circle that we have that much better. You know, I don't know where this thing goes or how long the coach's course will exist or any of that stuff. But as long as it's there, it's to drive education and experience for, I mean, there's nothing wrong with learning along the way, but primarily, you know, your person who's attending seminars is typically on their way up as far as accumulating education and knowledge versus being 40, 50 years into the game or something like that.
Right.
So it's like, it's always nice to be able to provide an environment for that next generation coming up and try and build something that you didn't have, you know, because said for me, the first person that was kind to me in this industry was Louis Simmons. And I'll never be able to find out why now, but it's like, who the hell are we? I mean, I've said it 1,000 times, but who are we to conduct ourselves any differently? We'll just keep trying to be the best resource we can for people who need information. And if we don't know what we're talking about, we'll just say, I don't know. It's a pretty good escape route, is just to be honest and say, I don't know, versus faking the funk and then having to pay the price for it later.
Yeah. You and I have talked to it like so many times, and this past weekend when we were gone away with some shenanigans, a story came out, Zach, that prompted you to get it out. And I had never heard this story, man, about like how you kind of, you know, let's talk about, I know you hate telling shit about yourself, but this is such a good story. You got to share it about
you let it rip, because I probably forgot already.
Well, I mean, like Louis, the course finishes, the original course, and everybody goes to buy the t-shirts and you wouldn't buy the books.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's talk about that one just a little bit. Give us the highlights, man. Cause I think that it says a lot about you, but I also think it says a lot about Louis and what he's looking for. And so, like, please share that story. I know you hate it, but do it.
That was the first time I'd ever gone to Westside. That was the fall of 2009. And that was when the CrossFit powerlifting course was still being held there. And Lou was still doing it in the gym versus punching out the teams to teach it for CrossFit. And I mean, the seminar was coming to an end and they had the table out. And on the table was, you know, some shirts, merch, that kind of stuff, and a few books. And I just saw the books. I'm like, again, I'm not the smartest man. And at the time, I didn't think that the box under the table just had more copies of the same book. But I thought it was gonna be like a dead sprint to grab the book. So I'm warming up the hammies, getting ready to go and get those books from a bunch of freaking people. And we go up there, the store opens, and it was Doris running the store back then. So just cash in hand on a folding table. It was nothing crazy like it is now, but got the books and, you know, just kind of like, all right, cool, I got them. And that didn't really think of like, who the hell wouldn't, like, the whole weekend is like paid money to come here and learn. And the whole weekend we're talking about these very books and how important it is to read these very books. And I got them and no one else really seemed to be interested in the books. It was just photos and t-shirts. And throughout the follow-on visits and everything, Lou just would refer to me as the guy who bought the books, the guy from the seminar who bought the books. And I'm like, yeah, so I still have them on the shelf. They haven't been stolen, so that's good. Yeah, that was, I mean, of all things, that's probably that was one of the pivotal moments, that and Eddie wearing the hoodie after cutting weight.
Really? I never knew that too, because he wore the Westside hoodie.
Yeah, it wasn't sponsorship or anything. It was just a hoodie bought off the website because all gym bros have the hoodie. And got out of the sauna leading up to weigh-ins before one of the fights. And Lou saw the video, wanted to know who the hell that was, and went back out after we checked back in. And it'd been a few years at that point. But then they were able to figure out that Eddie and I were one and the same of all the information that we were talking about when we were there and through the relationships that we built. And then the rest just kind of unfolds for the last 10 years or so.
That's wild, man. That's wild. So did you... Now, like, do you feel pressure, like, with your involvement with Westside Barbell and the passing of Louis, do you feel the pressure to, you know, to carry on that legacy? Does that feel like a pressure to you, or is that just something you welcome? Like, how do you deal with that? I know you were close to them.
Yeah, it's a self-imposed pressure. Like, so the world lost Louis Simmons. I lost a friend and a mentor, and a boss, kind of. but it's a self-imposed pressure, just as it was when he was here, was to do a good job. It's a sink or swim environment. Like I said, I've always said I've never lifted for Louis Simmons, but I've worked for him in a variety of capacities for over a decade. And you never want to be the weak link in the chain, period. But if you don't pull your own, whether it's the business operations or the gym or anything, you're out. So it's a great way to build yourself, you know, ethically, build yourself and cut your teeth in business and whatever it is your role at Westside Barbell is. So it's been a common practice to not want to screw up. And then since he's passed, it's like, well, yeah, you want to do, you know, even better, like honor to man, because that's the one thing that a lot of folks, I don't think realize is over the years there of how much taking occurs at Westside Barbell. I don't mean stealing, like you're not taking stuff out of desks and offices, but everyone that goes there leaves better and smarter than when they walked in. And it's not always a revolving door of gratitude or reciprocal sort of efforts. So people will walk out of there, get a photo, and then start claiming that they're, you know, the reincarnation of all things strength and intelligence and this, that, and the other. So it's a very small circle that I've been fortunate to be a part of for a very long time. But now that he's passed, it's like, well, yeah, we want to protect the legacy and do stuff, because like, who wants to, you know, no one wants to stab the man in the back. But as I said, I don't think we would have, I don't even know if we'd have a gym still or anything like that if he didn't take me under his wing and then in turn fall in line with Tom Barry and learn from him and everything that's just happened. So it's like, all right, just because he's passed doesn't mean we're not grateful. And the self-imposed pressure has always been there since we started. And now we just keep doing it. And we did a podcast or a talk, I can't remember, forgive me. But, you know, our stance now is when Conjugate Tactical was launched and all this stuff kind of started to unfold, and even prior, that Lou has always said, you know, if you really want to thank me, because, you know, I offered to take him to dinner or cover lunch, like whatever, and usually get yelled at for even suggesting it. But, you know, if you really want to thank me, he's always said, just prove his methods. So when we got tasked with this and went out there and per Tom Barry proved his methods in our particular space, it was, you know, that's a good feeling to be able to do or to say. But Lou passed before he ever gave us the thumbs up. They're like, okay, you've proven my methods, now you can stop. So, you know, to just kind of, and, you know, I love like mental games and strategy and all that stuff, but to kind of keep the thing going is like, well, like Lou has never let us off the hook. Like, it was never, you proved my methods, now you can quit. It's go prove my methods. Unfortunately, he passed. And now we basically have open-ended instructions to continue to prove his methods. And what I hope is conduct ourselves in a way that's befitting what we've done the last 10 years to not get punched in the head or kicked out of the office, you know? So the dog's been tattooed on my leg since 2013. And I'm stuck with this forever, whether I like it or not. And I sure hope I don't get kicked out and fired, because whether you like it or not, I'm part of it forever.
Yeah. So. The last time I had you on the podcast, I ended with, you know, what's next for Conjugate Tactical and you? And you were very like, you know, you're kind of like nothing, you know, nothing's, I think, you know, and here we are, whatever, it's been probably, you know, 8 months, 9 months since you've been on the podcast last. And I feel like it went from nothing to a whole lot, even whether it wasn't, was there like a fork in the road, man? Like, I'm curious, just from a guy who does business and often feel like I've done all I want to do. And then it's like, oh no, now I want to do this too. Was there a fork in the road? Was it some inspiration from, you know, like a person, not me, but a person like me that's kind of, you know, taken into this Conjugate Tactical thing, or is it just you? What was it?
I don't know, man. Like I said, I remember the conversation we had in the episode, but truthfully, like, it's still my stance, at least, is that we're done. This is the end of the ride. We'll constantly refine the information and our work and always try to get better. But the intent behind Conjugate Tactical as it is now is still to train and educate, not to do anything other than that, and to do so only in our space. So when we get, same thing, when we still get inquiries about a powerlifting meet, like, I know Laura Phelps, like, you should talk to her about the sport of powerlifting. And just as things are growing here now, a lot of wonderful folks are attracted to this thing and involved in it. And they're very brilliant at a subject or two. And the mission here is not to highlight myself or any one individual in this space, is to make everything better under this banner of Westside Barbell and the education that we've obtained from it. And, you know, we get to fly our own flag now, and that's great. But, you know, the statement we made back then about being done, it still holds true. And that the second half of that statement, and I'm not saying you're not omitting it to be shady or anything, but the part that people forget about that statement when I do make it is that the end state of this thing is we're there. It's still got to get much, much better. But the other part is we've made it where we wanted to be. You know, if we start stacking up awards and accolades and stuff, that's cool. But once, basically, now that I've hit my goals, and I'll hopefully come up with some new ones, but this is still a hell of a lot of fun, is to bring other people up. And when I say up, it's not that they're below us or beneath us in any way, shape, or form. It's not a statement of arrogance, but, you know, the on the back burner has always been able to want to build an opportunity for people to sort of get theirs. You know, we have our work between the private side of Conjugate Tactical, which has been, before we changed names of everything, it's just been the work we've done since this whole thing kind of started when I started exercising people. We're still just exercising people. Like, it's all this really is. And we're still doing just that. But it was to bring people up to have their opportunity. And now more and more people are getting an opportunity to do stuff. So between the private side, the Arsenal strength work, having the facility here, like there's really nothing left for me. I still have to work. I've still got my son, still have a mortgage and things like that. So can't just sit there with my feet in the sand and do nothing all day. But now there's plenty of opportunities and growth and that whole space that if it's under the Conjugate Tactical banner, fine. We're continuing to add value with the places that we do get to speak at, I think. And if folks want to be aligned with that and, you know, their conduct and essentially just their mannerisms and the way they treat human beings is befitting what we try to do is just simply be nice to people and try to be smart, then this has started to become unintentionally a great avenue for folks to have their opportunity to build theirs. And for us, like as far as the emotional return on these things go, if when it's all said and done, other gyms, other training cultures, tribes, companies, whatever it is, got better because we were involved, then again, we still have to prove Louis's methods. We haven't been let off the hook. So right. That's, I mean, I still stand by that statement with 100% sincerity, but we don't go from here as, you know, our essentially our mission is to be the world's leader in conjugate-based tactical strength conditioning. It's a very simple one-sentence mission statement, but we don't deviate from here into football, basketball, you know, business consulting. There's no interest in spreading horizontally into a lot of different stuff. It's to continue to sharpen up and build this one little vertical that we have until it's the absolute best we can make it. And it's going to take a lot of really smart and good people along the way. And as we've always said with this is to get people, like once you've got this, make it your own. So, you know, I would say, honestly, the biggest, I would say crossover might be the way to say it, but the biggest crossover has been several of the folks, if we're looking for consistency, several of the folks from the Jim Jones world bringing, you know, an open mind into this, finding common ground and a way to layer this in with some of that training methodology or some of conjugate tactical with a powerlifting background or an endurance background. And you know, if you just go down the laundry list of this, you know, the regulars that you see on the Instagram page, for example, like Dan down at Go Ruck has implemented elements of this to be an endurance racer or a ruck racer, jujitsu dude. Mark up at New Breed in Chicago has built out a baseline program to support competitive grappling because that's what his school, you know, they compete in jujitsu tournaments and train a lot of first responders and combatives and things of that nature. And it just continues to layer and layer and layer of what people can do with this stuff. And now it's like, yeah, please go do really good things. So any sort of expansion from here on a horizontal plane is going to be the folks that want to be involved in this. And then we just have to balance out those relationships of making sure that everyone, as we were talking the other day, everyone has a reciprocal value added and taken so that it doesn't become, you know, bleed conjugate tactical dry, and it doesn't become us just turning into just, I don't know what you want to call it, but just ruthless billing machines where we just lose the humanity and strength conditioning and trying to take care of that up and coming generation or things like that, which is part of the reason why we put such a big emphasis on philanthropy and ultimately just kindness to folks where, like I said, some of the gnarliest dudes I've ever met from, you know, units that are pretty up there, and guys who fight in the octagon rarely are the best in the world rude people. You know, rarely are the best in the world.
That's so true.
Yeah, like insecure assholes. They're usually pretty confident and undermine their own accomplishments. So it's like, all right, there's good people that get drawn to this, and we'll let them worry about the different areas this can expand into. And hopefully they make $1 million doing it. Because one, we don't have the time to get in any other areas, but if we reapply any of our effort to anything other than conjugate-based tactical strength conditioning, then we're gonna diminish what we can do and what we set out to do, and also what we are ordered to do by Louis. So basically, just keeping to ourselves. Short answer made very, very long. but keeping to ourselves and just doing our thing has built a decent little life and allows us to continue to do the work that we want to do versus being sort of, I guess, held prisoner by all the they say information or all the rules that you have to do this, that, or the other. You don't, man. We just want to do one thing, you know.
Yeah.
So it's gotten pretty cool. But if you're only doing one thing, I mean, you're kind of all in on it, but you get a chance to continuously climb and grow versus trying this, trying that. And every 3 months you're starting from the beginning again. That's a tough road to go down over and over and over again.
Yeah. Laser focus, man. And I think it's one of your favorite little sayings, you kick the pebble down the hill. And I know, much like I talked about at the start with being so proud as the coach and seeing my people succeed. I mean, one of the first things you said to me in our one of our recent calls, you know, was like, you know, you're bragging about Byron and about Curtis and like the things that they're accomplishing. And like that, to me, I could see the light, like you don't like the compliments, but that's your accomplishment. I can tell that you live a lot through those accomplishments of others, which makes, you know, is always a good sign that you're a good person doing good things.
Who try to be, man? I'm a train wreck of a human being, but we try not to treat people like shit. And it really is. It's I don't know how you say it. Like there's folks out there that may not be able to take joy in watching others succeed or win or do well, but we're just at a place in life, man, where it brings great joy, honestly, to see guys and gals doing things that literally cast a shadow of what we've built. Like, do you know how much money we've spent, like, in intellectual property, trademarking, you name it, a freaking website that's never going to go on apparently and whatnot. And then you watch someone with, you know, spending 14 hours together at a course, within 6 months, they've built something so much better than myself. It's like, God damn it. Like, why do I suck this bad? But being able to see what they're doing is like, it's wonderful to see. It really is. I don't know if it's just getting older or, you know, just getting a little bit more experience under our belts or whatever you want to call that kind of stuff. But it is amazing to see what people can do. And if, in all honesty, we just really don't, we're at a place where we just don't really go without a whole lot. We don't need a whole lot, but we have more than we need. So life's pretty good, all things considered. I've been in a lot worse place, but now it's like, you really can enjoy when you hear someone, you know, they hit a home run as far as a training opportunity, or they got a contract job or something like that. It's like, oh man, if we added 1% or something, whatever, you know, little bit of experience or a little bit of benefit we've offered, if that helped any of these folks, I can say in absolute sincerity that that's it. That's why there's nothing left, is we just keep repeating this because we built our thing and now we can use our thing to help others build theirs. And hopefully everyone grabs a beer when it's all said and done and gets along, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of train wrecks of a human being, we spent that last night in Vegas. We go for a nice dinner, all of us. And of course it's like, you know, it's getting around like midnight, 1 o'clock, and a couple of the last guys standing in our friend group there are with me, and they're like, oh, we got to go to bed. Now I'm staying at the cheap casino down the road. So of course I don't wander straight home. I'm like, I'm only in Vegas for 4 more hours, maybe, so make the most of it. Then it gets to the point where it's now it's 4 a.m. and I'm getting back to my hotel room. I got to be on the plane for 7. I'm still in the clothes I wore like at 7 a.m. that morning when I went to meet you for breakfast. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I find the stupid $70. That's all it was. $70 winning ticket from the slots, and they won't let me cash it at my hotel. So I pack my stuff, walk all the way down to cash in this like $50 winnings is basically all it is, and get in the Uber to go to the airport. The guy, the Uber, has to wake me up and say like, hey man, you got to go catch your flight. So here I am. Now it's like almost 48 hours later and I'm in my same clothes having dinner with my family. I'm still the same socks, underwear, pants, everything, my business casual outfit. And I was like, man, I got to grow up a little bit. But I was only there for like 35 hours in Vegas, whatever it was. It's such a blast, man. I'm glad you invited me to meet up with you. It was a lot of fun to see you after so many years.
I know. It was good to meet you twice in 1 month versus 0 in 3 years.
Pull through doesn't count. Pull through, you're too busy to have fun.
That's a train wreck of a day, man.
Yes.
I think the part you're leaving out is that I was in bed by like 9:45. I couldn't even finish my dinner. I was so damn tired, man.
Yeah.
But it was nice. I got up at 4 a.m. to head to the airport. You know, I had a couple emails, take a shower and head to the airport, but I had a half of a ribeye and like a $60 piece of
fish. Oh, I forgot you brought your food home. Yeah.
I did the ghetto sink, man, with what's it called? The if I lost you there for a second, just fill the sink with ice, man. Put your food on top of it, and then put a wet towel over all of it, like a tent. You got fucking world class refrigerator right there.
That is a traveling man's trick. I never heard of that, you. Bro, but it makes all the sense in the world.
It works, man. But yeah, you know, I had a 5-star pile of leftovers versus your drunk ass. So it wasn't too bad of a gig, man.
I had a pack of Smarties on the plane in between long naps.
Oh, yeah. Hungover eating Smarties is, I could not think of much worse than that. Just some tart ass heartburn candy.
Yes, absolutely. Well, man, I know you're busy, dude, and I appreciate everything. I appreciate you coming on here all the time, but I appreciate everything you're doing for this world and for the, you know, the Conjugate Tactical family. We all appreciate it, even if you won't accept it like that. So thank you, buddy.
It's fun, man. Thank you.
Now's the time to do more and be more.